Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. You're listening to the Qalam podcast. Alhamdulillah, for over a decade, Qalam has had the opportunity and the blessing to serve the community. And after serving the community for an entire decade and benefiting millions of people all around the world, we have reaffirmed our commitment to making Islamic knowledge accessible for all, making sure each and every single person, no matter where they are in the world, they have the ability and the opportunity to learn about the beauty of Islam. So therefore, we are conducting more classes online than ever before, videos, podcasts, recordings, we're making all of it available. We ask you to support us and become our partner in this mission and cause of educating the whole world about the beautiful religion of Islam by going to supportqalam.com. Go to supportqalam.com, make a generous contribution. Inshallah, you are investing into the mission and the cause of teaching people about Islam worldwide. Millions of people have benefited, and we hope that hundreds of millions more will benefit, inshallah. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. I hope and pray everyone is doing well during this blessed month of Ramadan. When we think about the rights that I owe to Allah, the rights that I owe to the creation, scholars have developed a term for us to better understand this. And they say these rights are known as and can be divided into huququllah and huququl ibad, the rights of Allah and the rights of the creation, the rights of the rest of humanity. While as Muslims, it goes without saying that the rights of Allah are something that during no circumstance can I be unmindful of. And if I am, I need to ask repentance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The rights of humanity are extremely important as well and are often overlooked. Our identity, our definition of a Muslim, more often than not, is limited to the four walls of the masjid. When I go to work, I may be a nice human being, I may be courteous, I may be kind, I may be compassionate, generous. But very often we don't connect that to Islam, where we have these two very separate domains, where anything related to worship, that is specifically Islamic, and anything related to kindness, generosity, good dealings, interactions, that's just a very humanistic perspective. Whereas in Islam, we learn that no, the two are very strongly connected. That those who undermine the rights of other people are indirectly undermining the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. And this is very clear in one of the verses of the Quran in Surah An-Nisa, verse 36, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives us a number of commandments that we ought to follow. Most obvious of which is to worship Allah, not associate any partners with Him. Then after talking about His rights, He talks about the rights of the rest of humanity. He talks about the rights of your parents, the rights of the traveler, the rights of the orphans and the poor. One particular category that we're going to talk about today that is mentioned in this verse in Surah An-Nisa and that can go a long way towards bettering humanity is the rights of the neighbor. The rights of the neighbor. And living in a very individualistic society, at times it can be difficult for us to comprehend why the rights, why the neighbors have rights. That's why we need to focus on the Quranic injunctions of being kind to the neighbor, because at times it's difficult to rationalize this. Because when you think about your parents, you feel a sense of debt to them, right? Because of them, I'm living. They've supported me when I was young. They've taken care of me. So I can rationalize why I need to be kind to them. When I think about my connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I definitely can rationalize it. Allah is my creator. Allah is the reason I exist. Allah brought about my existence. He is Al-Khaliq. He is Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. I worship Him. I express my servitude to Him. That's understandable. Rational. I talk about the orphans and the poor. All right, they need something, so I'm going to be kind to them. But living in a very individualistic society where we're so focused with me, myself, and I, and everything and anything that only relates to me, it's kind of difficult to understand why my neighbor deserves a right. But the Islamic ethic is when we talk about being nice to neighbors, it's not something detached from Islam, it's something connected to Islam, because Islam views society as a whole, not only me as an individual. When I'm going to be kind to my neighbors, that has a ripple effect on society. It's not only that I'm kind to my neighbors and there's going to be no good that comes out of that. No, it's much broader and greater than that. Nonetheless, just very briefly today, we want to reflect on this verse of the Quran with specific reference to the rights of the neighbor. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Wal jar." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he talks about the fact that we have to worship him, we should not associate any partners with him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the parents. And then he says, "Wal jari dhil qurba wal jari al junub." That we need to be mindful of the neighbor that is near and the neighbor that is further away. The neighbor that is further away. So Allah focuses on the rights of the neighbor. And when we think of the neighbor, we shouldn't only think about the person who's to my right and to my left. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentions those who are further away as well. And to put this into context, when we think about if I'm living in an apartment complex or a subdivision, or I live in an area with neighbors, well, I can worry about the person living next door, but I should also worry about the person who's living in the building next door as well. It's much more holistic. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he tells us that Jibreel alayhi salam would come to him and would emphasize the rights of the neighbor. And he would do it so emphatically. He would continue emphasizing it so much that there came a point where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "I was almost under the impression that just like my family inherits from me after my passing, that the neighbor was given so much rights that perhaps he would also be able to inherit from me after my passing." Again, this is just hyperbole, the amount of rights that were given to the neighbor. And the rationale behind it is quite simple, that in order for a society to function, you need all its individual parts to work in harmony. If there is any conflict, it creates conflict in the broader society. So if I'm going to treat my neighbors poorly, then they're going to treat me poorly, which is going to create an attitude, and that's where we have a lot of misunderstandings. Now, what does it mean that my neighbors have a right over me? What does it mean that my neighbor has a right over me? The meaning of that is several things. Number one, my neighbor has the right over me to treat him or her well through my conduct. And this is very important, because if I have a one-off interaction with someone, I go to Walmart to buy something, I'm waiting in the line, I pay and I leave. All right, if I'm going to be nice to that person or not, I'm not supposed to be rude anyways, but if I happen to be rude and I leave, all right, it's done. It's not something that's going to be lasting. That person's going to interact with somebody else and hopefully forget about me, and I'm going to forget about them, which is wrong. Don't misunderstand me. It's wrong. But it's not as severe as a person who treats their neighbor bad, because they're constantly in each other's faces. They're together with each other. And that's going to create a much worse environment to live in. And harmony is something that the Sharia strives towards. So being kind to the neighbors is absolutely essential. And the first way of being kind to them is through our conduct. And through our conduct is either positively or negatively. And what I mean by that is we can do things, we can give them gifts, we can be understanding. But the most important quality that any neighbor can exemplify for their neighbor is understanding of one another's faults, right? It happens very often where, okay, one neighbor, for whatever reason, they have guests over and they raise their voices. Now you have two perspectives. The neighbor who has the guests over and they're raising their voices, they should be understanding and not cause any inconvenience to those who are next door. And those who are living next door, they should be understanding in that, okay, this is a one-off situation. I shouldn't make a, you know, make a big fuss out of this. Let me just overlook it. Inshallah, it's fine. They're my neighbors. They're so nice. Once in a while, it's fine that this can happen. So we need that balance, both positively and negatively. Positively, we try our best to do things. Let's try to do things. And negatively, instead, let's not do certain things. And that's how we can get better and closer towards our community as neighbors, but also to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through this. And when we study the lives of the Sahaba and the Salaf, this is very prominent. A number of stories are recorded in the history of Islam pertaining to how people, by interacting with their Muslim neighbors, would accept Islam. A famous incident that's related on the authority regarding Abdullah ibn Mubarak is when someone comes to buy his neighbor's home and offers a particular fixed price, and the person responds by saying, I would like double that price. And the purchaser is somewhat appalled, surprised that why are you requesting something that's double the average price of homes over here? And the response that the neighbor of Ibn Mubarak gave is, I'm selling my home for half, and I'm selling my rights of being a neighbor for the other half. And that's why I'm charging double. Now, this incident is just one incident among many others of people who really appreciated being neighbors with their Muslim neighbors. And that is something we need to strive towards, because there's no form of calling people to Islam. There's no stronger form of calling people to Islam than through our conduct. If my neighbor sees that I'm very mindful of them, I send them gifts occasionally, I don't cause any inconvenience, and I'm really kind, I'm joyful, I'm interactive, you know, that's a way of people thinking, all right, why is it that this person is so different from the rest of my neighbors? Right? If my neighbor sees that I'm picking up some dirt on the side and I'm throwing it into the trash, he's going to think like, okay, nobody else is doing it. And then maybe one day he'll approach me and say, you know, it's amazing. I see you do a lot of great work in the community. I see you do a lot of great work here. I just want to know more. And then that's the perfect time to let them know what motivates us to do this is our Islam. So in summary, the rights of the neighbor are things that should never be overlooked, because these rights are enshrined in the Quran. وَالْجَارِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْجَارِ الْجُنُوبِ Those neighbors who are near and those neighbors who are further away. And by showing the neighbor the rights that he or she deserves, indirectly we are fulfilling the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the opportunity to be kind neighbors, to not cause any inconvenience to our neighbors, and be among those who are exemplary neighbors for people to observe and accept Islam as well. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.